Good evening. The House Judiciary Committee votes two articles of impeachment.
Clerk will report.
Mr. Chairman, there are 23 ayes and 17 noes.
The article is agreed to. The resolution is amended as ordered, reported favorably to the House.
And the family of a man shot in the Bronx sees a video of the encounter that led to his death. Long after the family of the cop killed by friendly fire in the same altercation saw the videos. But the family of Antonio Williams says the videos are incomplete and edited. With these and other stories, I'm Paul DiRienzo with the news for Friday, December 13th, 2019. A little after midnight on September 29th, plainclothes officers from a Bronx anti-crime unit approached Antonio Williams, 27, at the Edenwald houses near Eastchester in the Bronx. Williams, who was on probation, took off running. The police say they wanted to question the man, but within moments, at least six cops had fired 15 bullets, killing Williams. An NYPD officer, Brian Mulkeen, 32, was also killed by friendly fire from fellow officers. Mulkeen had reportedly chased Williams, who was waiting for a cab, tackling the African-American man, and then, with other officers, repeatedly punching him on the ground. The exact circumstances that led to the gunfire are unclear. Williams had a gun, but it was never fired. All the bullets came from police guns. Police were slow to show video footage from body cameras to Williams' family. Later today, NYPD will make edited excerpts of the films public. But family members who gathered at Police Plaza today to see the footage say they want to see it all. Loida Colon is co-director of Justice Committee, a group that represents loved ones of people killed by police.
It was by no means all of the video that the families asked for. The family has repeatedly asked to see all the videos that exist from beginning to end, and that is not at all what they were shown today. The family was shown this selectively edited video that the NYPD narrates completely through. Where they also bring up a shooting that has nothing to do with Antonio Williams at all. So it's just their story, the way they want it laid out. It's completely disrespectful to the family. The family is entitled, has a right to see all of the video. They also showed a few clips of body camera footage. Let's be clear, not the full body camera footage. Just a few clips. We don't know if it's from the, like, what was edited from the beginning or the end. It's what the NYPD wants people to see. Again, not what the family asked them for. And it's a complete slap in the face to this family.
Colon, who was flanked by family members, activists, and an attorney for the family, said Williams had done nothing wrong when police approached him.
We've been saying that Antonio Williams was just standing in the street waiting for a cab. He had not committed a crime. There was no reason for officers to stop him. Yet the officers approach him and they don't even walk up to him. He sees them from a distance and he runs off. It is important to note that it is not illegal to run from the police. He had not committed a crime. The police should not have ran after him. They should not have tackled him. What we also see in this video is the NYPD is punching. They repeatedly beat him. So they keep saying that there was a violent struggle. The violent struggle, as all at the public will see, the violent struggle is the NYPD repeatedly punching him, repeatedly hitting him. That is the violent struggle. It's not, you don't see Antonio hitting cops. And when they claim he resisted, once again, they claim this for every single police killing, like that they were resisting. Well, if you're on the floor, there is not a soul on this earth that can just lay there still while they're being repeatedly hit.
Colon describes what she says was the disrespect shown the Williams family by police that began when they tried to recover the body.
This family went to the hospital, to Montefiore, where a doctor said that they were going to be allowed to see his body, that they were going to be able to say goodbye. The NYPD then stopped them from doing so, said that it was a crime scene, an active crime scene. Let's be clear, it was the hospital room. They were in the hospital. That's not the crime scene. And they refused to let this family see Antonio and say goodbye. Then the following day, they're trying to figure out where his body is, right? Because they're now parents told that their son is dead, that their brother is dead. But they have no proof that Antonio's really the one that's dead. So then they get told that he'll be in Manhattan at the Emmy's office in Manhattan. They get ready to go there, and then they get told his body's in Queens. And then they have to turn around and go to Queens. And let's be also clear that at no point in the last 2.5 months has the NYPD or the mayor's office reached out for this family.
The city's response, she says, was one-sided.
Now, Brian Mulkeen's family was allowed to see the video. And we're pretty sure they didn't have to fight to see that video. You never heard of them needing people to be making all these calls, protesting, all this stuff, all these press conferences to be able to see the video. These families should be treated equally.
She adds the death of Williams and Mulkeen was caused by the reckless behavior of the cops.
Yes, Antonio ran off. They were beating on him. But what you're also going to see is the backup officers, another set of officers who literally in less than a minute, come out and just start shooting from a distance. They're shooting recklessly. Antonio Williams is not responsible for the murder of Brian Mulkeen. The NYPD's recklessness is responsible for the deaths of both Brian Mulkeen and Antonio Williams.
She claims racism was the culprit, as well as the cops who fired the hail of bullets.
Antonio Williams was a black man that was just standing on the street, and the NYPD shot him 15 times. 15 times, Officer Robert Richards shot once. Brian Mahone shot once. Detective Keith Beto shot twice. Police Officer Daniel Figueroa shot twice. However, Brian Mulkeen shot 5 times. Sergeant Jason Valentino, who was actually one of the backup cops, he was far away. He's the one that just opened fire. He shot five shots toward both Antonio and Mulkeen. And we just want to make that clear. 15 shots by 3 officers. This is a cover-up. We have a right to see everything. All of these officers need to be held accountable. And the NYPD in this city needs to stop blaming Antonio Williams. This was the NYPD's recklessness.
Loida Colon is co-director of Justice Committee, a group that represents loved ones of people killed by the police. Police have said that Williams shouldn't have run from police, but family attorney David Rankin says the law is clear. It's not illegal to run from police if they don't have any reason to stop you.
What you're going to see from this video is an individual standing on the sidewalk, rapidly approached by officers who are running up on him, and that individual runs. Obviously, that individual is Mr. Williams. To be clear, it is legal under the United States Constitution to run from an officer if they don't have a reason to stop you. It is legal to run from an officer under the state constitution if they do not have a reason to stop you. To be clear, it is in the New York City Police Department guidelines to allow you to run from an officer if they do not have a reason to stop you. You will see these officers go from inside a car to chasing a man in seconds. We need to know what basis they had for that stop. This video also raises questions about why officers who were 10, 15, 20, 30 yards away from 2 people were firing their guns in a NYSHA development. Families live there. This is at night. People are sleeping in their beds. We have 15 shots fired. That raises questions. I would also ask you to look specifically at the body cam video of police officer Beto. It's short, and it looks from the video like that's a decent angle. That video stops, and you don't see it. Why?
David Rankin is attorney for the Williams family. Gladys Williams is Antonio's stepmother. She echoed Rankin and added that she's waiting to see the videos that police release to the pub when the police release them to the public later today.
See you later on today. And he wasn't doing anything illegal. You know, he was being chased, he was being attacked. And with the recklessness of the NYPD, I feel as though two people should have been alive today. And he was our son, you know, and he's going to have children that are going to grow up without their father. And definitely left a big hole in our life and in our family.
Antonio's brother, Justin, also spoke about his pain.
My brother's my best friend. He's a father. He's a son. My brother did not deserve to die tonight, and anybody deserved to die that night. Due to the reckless behavior, two lives were lost, and two lives will never be brought back. His daughter will not be able to see him grow up. My brother will not be able to see his younger brother graduate high school. He will not see his nieces, his nephews, his cousins, all loved. And it's all due to the reckless behavior of the NYPD. The video that was shown to my family, and a lot of different emotions come out, a lot of different feelings, anger, sadness, hope that this video is going to turn out a different way, but we all know the end result of this video. I just want justice for my brother. I want answers for my family. I want justice.
And his father, Sean Williams, recounted his feelings watching the police videos earlier today.
I sat there and watched my son's life end. And fighting for his life. I saw that he's standing there waiting for a cab, not bothering anybody. Cops, NYPD rolls up on him. He runs, they chase, and it ended, as we all know, two lives lost unnecessarily. I also lost a son that night who, like my son and my wife said, he'll never get to see his kids grow up. His son, his daughter, they'll never get to see him. His nephew, his brothers, his twin brother is going through a ton. And his mother down south, his sister, his older sister, is going through her own battles with this whole situation. We ask for justice. We look up and all we see is nothing but excuses, cover up, going from Mayor de Blasio, from the NYPD, all the way up to Mayor de Blasio. And no one's giving any answers. No one's saying anything. Everything is, okay, you ask, we're going to play cat and mouse with you. We're going to give you a little bit, but we're not going to give you what you asked. Or we're going to show a chopped up video, but we're not going to show you everything you asked for. And I sat there and I looked at the video, and I'm watching my son lay there. How long? Questions. What happened? How long did it take them to try to revive him? And those are answers I'll never get, because all that's on the tapes that we have not seen yet, and we're still waiting to get unedited versions.
Afterwards, New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams also spoke. He says the killing leaves too many questions unanswered.
I just came to support the family, and I know what they saw must have been harrowing. My biggest concerns are about transparency with the policies of footage to begin with. from what I heard, it wasn't comfortable that the family had the same ability to see the footage as some other folks. And we really got to understand why that is and clarify that as we move forward. Another concern is the editing. We're not sure what's being edited out, why is it being edited out, and there's no answers to these questions. We're also not sure why it takes so long for this footage to be put out. And we also want to understand why is it stopped after a certain amount of time. Why can't we just see the full footage, at least the families, to understand what's going on? This is about transparency, and there's a lot of questions that are left to answer. And I know we have a new commissioner who's going to try to work these things out, but we need it done quickly because many of us are trying to bridge the gap and around the issues of policing in certain communities, and the best way to do that is through transparency and accountability. That doesn't seem to have happened here in this case, and we want to make sure that that doesn't continue. And sadly, there may be other cases. We want to get it right. And this family, who's had to take off work more than one time, still has a lot of questions that they shouldn't have. And so I feel so bad for Officer Malkin's family, and I feel bad for Antonio Williams' family. But Antonio Williams' family seems to be getting left behind a lot in the discussions, and that can happen. Thank you.
The videos are expected to be made public at this hour. And you're listening to the news on locally produced and independent WBAI in New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. Prime Minister Boris Johnson pledged Friday to heal Britain's divisions over Brexit after his gamble on early elections rewarded him with a commanding majority in Parliament and a new mandate to take his country out of the European Union at the end of January. Johnson's promise to get Brexit done and widespread unease with the leadership style and socialist policies of opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn combined to give the ruling Conservative Party 365 seats in the House of Commons. His best performance is party icon Margaret Thatcher's last victory in 1987. Corbyn's Labour Party slumped to 203 seats, 59 fewer than it won 2 years ago, vote totals showed on Friday. The results offered Johnson fresh momentum to push his EU withdrawal agreement through the Parliament. Since taking office in July, he had led a minority government. After the House of Commons stalled his Brexit deal at the end of October, he called the election 2 years ahead of schedule in hopes of winning a clear majority. And in impeachment news, here in the U.S., Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee sent two articles of impeachment to the full body for the fourth time in American history today. The vote came anticlimactically at 10 this morning and took only a few minutes. The final vote came after a marathon debate of nearly 12 hours on Thursday that saw the committee divided strictly along party lines, just as the vote turned out. Here's some excerpts from that vote.
The resolution contains two distinct propositions. We will divide the question between the two articles. The question now is on Article 1 of the resolution, impeaching President Donald J. Trump for abusing his powers. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Nadler?
Aye.
Mr. Nadler votes aye. Ms. Lofgren?
Aye.
Ms. Lofgren votes aye. Mr. Johnson of Louisiana?
No.
Mr. Johnson of Louisiana votes no. Mr. Biggs?
No.
Mr. Biggs votes no. Mr. McClintock?
No.
Has every member voted who wishes to vote? The clerk will report.
Mr. Chairman, there are 23 ayes and 17 noes.
The article is agreed to. The question now is on Article 2 of the resolution, impeaching President Donald J. Trump for obstructing Congress. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Nadler?
Aye.
Mr. Nadler votes aye. Mr. Armstrong votes no. Mr. Stubbe?
No.
Mr. Stubbe votes no.
Is there every member of the committee who wishes to vote voted? The clerk will report.
Mr. Chairman, there are 23 ayes and 17 noes.
The article is agreed to. The resolution is amended as ordered reported favorably to the House. Members will have 2 days to submit views. The resolution will be reported as a single amendment in the nature of a substitute. Without objection, staff is authorized to make technical and conforming changes. Without objection,
Mr.
the committee
Chairman,
is adjourned.
Mr. Chairman,
for what purpose does the gentleman seek recognition?
Pursuant to Clause 2L of Rule 11, I give notice of intent to file dissenting views.
Notice is heard. Without objection, the committee is adjourned.
Later Friday, President Trump dismissed the vote as trivial and an embarrassment to the nation and alluded to a time when Republicans might repay the favor.
Well, I was actually, believe it or not,
finishing up the final, I was doing the final touches on the China deal. And that's going to be one of the great deals ever. And it's going to ultimately lead to the opening of China, which is something that is incredible, because that's a whole big untapped market of 1.5 billion people. And so I was actually doing the finals, but I got to see enough of it. And certainly I spoke to my people. It's a witch hunt. It's a sham. It's a hoax. Nothing was done wrong. Zero was done wrong. I think it's a horrible thing to be using the tool of impeachment, which is supposed to be used in an emergency, and it would seem many, many, many years apart, to be using this for a perfect phone call where the president of that country said there was no pressure whatsoever, didn't even know what we were talking about. It was perfect. The relationship is perfect. I've done much more for them than Obama did for them. It's a scam. It's something that shouldn't be allowed. And it's a very bad thing for our country. And you're trivializing impeachment. And I tell you what, someday there'll be a Democrat president and there'll be a Republican House. And I suspect they're going to remember it. Because when you use impeachment for absolutely nothing other than to try and get political gain.
Committee Chair Jerry Nadler spoke briefly to the media after the vote.
Today is a solemn and sad day. For the third time in a little over a century and a half, the House Judiciary Committee has voted articles of impeachment against the president for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The House will act expeditiously. Thank you.
Republicans were angry at last night's sudden recess and today's quick vote. They expressed that anger after the vote today.
Well, this is really a sad day. Big show. Everybody got dressed up. Really no place to go. We voted on a provision, an allegation of abuse of power. There was an abuse of power at the Department of Justice. There was an abuse of power at the FBI. There was an abuse of power at the FISA court. There was abuse of power in our intel community. There was abuse of power. Even DOD was paying money to help set up the president. So there were all kinds of abuses of power, perhaps none more so than in the House of Representatives by the majority. This is an outrage. It sets the bar for any president of any party for the future to go through 3 years of hell like this president has. It's really unfortunate. This is a sad day for the country. It's going nowhere in the Senate, but I really hope and pray the Senate will not just pick it up and dismiss it. America needs to hear from the witnesses. And we didn't get to hear from them here. This was a kangaroo court. Outrageous to put the country through this. And we get a report, and we don't even get to examine the maker of the report. So it's a very sad day. I'm just glad I had such an incredible team I got to be on. These are really quality folks. Debbie, you going?
Well, this is really a travesty for America, and it's really tearing America apart. I have never in my entire life seen such an unfair, rigged railroad job against the President of the United States. I have known that my fellow Democrats were going to go for impeachment since January of this year when they got power. And here we are today. They predetermined they were going to do it, and they did it, come hell or high water. They had no proof, no evidence, no crime, but they went ahead anyway. And they're tearing the country apart, and they should be ashamed.
The founding fathers, the founders of this country, warned against single-party impeachments, and they had a very specific reason for warning us against that. They said that it would be bitterly divisive, perhaps irreparably divisive for the country, and that's what's happened now. This is the first time in the history of this nation, in 243 years, that a president has been treated in this manner, when one party has followed and pursued a predetermined political outcome to get to that end. You have to remember that before the famous July 25th phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky that supposedly sparked all of this whole charade, 95 House Democrats had already voted to proceed with impeaching Donald Trump before any of these facts came forward. That's just not right. They determined this. They said it from the day he took his oath of office that they would remove him, and they pursued that end. So this is what we're left with. 14 hours yesterday and a few moments this morning, this anticlimactic end to this whole charade was fitting and appropriate. There wasn't much there. And that's what happened here. I think the American people are going to militate against this. I think the polling shows that they've been very frustrated. They see what's happened here. They see the lack of evidence. They see this paper-thin impeachment proceeding, what ultimately developed of it, that there's nothing behind it. I think we showed that very clearly. And I think there's going to be a huge political price paid by the Democrats at the polls next year. And what we're ultimately concerned about, beyond the price that's paid in this short-term period, is what this is going to do to our republic going forward. The founders were right. They have divided the country even further, and I think that it's going to be very difficult for us in this institution to put this genie back in the bottle, and that's ultimately what we're also concerned about.
And that was at the top, Louis Grant of Texas, Debbie Lesch of Arizona, and Debbie Lesko, that is, of Arizona, and Mike Johnson of Louisiana. And finally, in more national news, the Supreme Court said Friday it will hear President Donald Trump's pleas to keep his tax, bank, and financial records private. It's a major confrontation between the president and Congress that also could affect the 2020 presidential campaign. Trump sued to prevent banks and accounting firms from complying with subpoenas for his records from three committees of the House of Representatives and Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. Trump has lost at every step, but the records have not been turned over pending a final court ruling. Now it will be up to a court that includes two Trump appointees, Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, to decide in a case with significant implications regarding a president's power to refuse a formal request from Congress. And that's some of the news for Friday, December 13th, 2019. The news was produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson from the studios of listener-sponsored, locally produced and independent WBAI News. I'm Paul D'Arienzo.